Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The past is the past. We're focused on the present and the future. But I would say, yeah, that definitely led me to South Carolina. And it was a blessing in disguise, you know, that I got to play with the Gamecocks and develop there and, you know, get ready to go to the league after that.
Do you have, like, a friendship relationship with Caleb, or is just kind of curious?
Cordial, you know. I'll say what's up to him at the game. But I got respect for him. Good player.
They were teammates once. Many moons ago at Oklahoma. That was Spencer Rattler. This is Raheemy Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. And we go live to our Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He joins us on Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. It is Fletcher Mackel. He's the sports director at WDSU, the NBC station in New Orleans, and also worked with the great Jim Mora while he's there. It's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Fletcher.
No, great to see you. Great to talk with you all. You know, you're one of my favorite people, certainly my favorite Chicago person. So truly, thank you for having me. And I can't wait to talk about the Saints and the Bears. I don't know if I'm going to be as colorful as my good friend Jim Mora, who at 90 is still as feisty and fiery as ever. But I'll do my best.
I do think it's amazing that he worked with you guys on the postgame show for as long as he did.
He still does. He zooms in. So Jim Mora, full disclosure, is retired with his wife, Connie. He was a native Californian who grew up in Los Angeles, went to Occidental College. So now he and Connie are retired and they live in Palm Desert, Palm Springs area. And he zooms in every week, and in them dealing with Zoom every week is quite comedy in and of itself. But nonetheless, we pull off a post-game Zoom every week, and he loves still chopping it up and talking ball and getting into the Saints.
Amazing.
I'm glad that you have them understanding how to use the Zoom, because everybody is not Zoom educated. I want to ask about Spencer Rattler, and there's this whole subtext with him and Caleb Williams, and they are not best buds, and it's very interesting. What do you make of the relationship as the way Spencer Rattler describes it?
So it was kind of telling yesterday. I asked the question and I said, how is your relationship with him? Obviously, you all were together at Oklahoma. Do you still stay in touch? Do you have any type of relationship? And he simply said, you know, I'll tell him what's up before the game. And, you know, professionally, we'll see each other. It was a very name, rank, and serial number. I don't think they're best buds. I don't know if they are enemies, but it certainly doesn't seem as if like they have a warm and fuzzy. There's going to be a whole lot of bro hugs and catching up before the game.
I love that because, I mean, Spencer Rattler got his job taken by Caleb Williams. So it makes sense why it wouldn't be all warm and fuzzy. Do you think there's extra motivation? And how do you feel about the way Spencer Rattler's played this season?
So thank you for that question, because I feel like the Saints are at a real inflection point this season. Look, the Saints are terrible right now. I mean, terrible. And Kellen Moore and Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator, are really doing a masterful job of coaching, because the Saints have no elite playmakers on defense. Their offense is really a work in progress with a young quarterback right now. But here's why I say they're at an inflection point with Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler is not Kellen Moore's guy. He was drafted by Dennis Allen. The Saints drafted Tyler Shuck from Louisville, 40th overall in the second round. The Saints could be back in the quarterback market for either a veteran, maybe chasing Daniel Jones, or drafting a guy in the top five in 2026. Spencer Rattler has been like, meh, like, okay. Like, to me, he is a great backup right now. He is a check-down artist. He is not a guy who has elevated anybody. But if you put him on the Kansas City Chiefs right now, or if you put him on the Rams or the Bucks, he could probably come in. He doesn't take sacks. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's a one-read check down guy. But the Saints are down in every game. He doesn't push the ball downfield. He doesn't elevate his receivers to make big plays. Now, you could argue he just needs more time to develop. They'll find synergy. He'll get better. Or you could say he's hit his ceiling and he's going to be Gardner Minshew. He's going to be Drew Lock. He's going to be a high quality backup in this league for a long time. And on a good team, he could win games by being a steady hand. And so this weekend, I think, is going to be really telling. If Dennis Allen puts Spencer Rattler in handcuffs and the Saints fall to 0-6, that's their worst start in 30 years based on record and lack of offensive firepower. I think it would give the Saints a chance to move on to Tyler Shough. But if Spencer Rattler comes out there and the offense puts it together and he has his first 300-yard passing game and gets two touchdowns, they're probably going to give him a lot more runway to see if he's the guy who can continue to develop and maybe be the franchise guy. Sorry for the long-winded answer. I've had a lot of coffee and I talk a lot.
No, this is the place where we got a 20-minute segment, so you get to cook. This isn't your typical, 10 o'clock nightly sportscast like we're all used to doing. So that's great. Fletcher, we appreciate it. Fletcher is the sports director at WDSU in New Orleans, long time covering the Saints and, of course, LSU, Tulane, all the football that goes on in Louisiana. And I'm glad you brought up just the long-term future when it comes to how they look at quarterback position at the Saints, because we know it well in Chicago. We've dealt with that. There's some comps to Mitch Trubisky on our Twitch chat here. Fletcher's on Twitch as well. You can see him. But additionally, I think it's funny that it might come down to what Dennis Allen cooks up, the former coach, of course, to have that aspect of it too, where his defense is really good at making people beat themselves. How do you factor that into this matchup?
So look, I think it's advantage Bears. And look, I know the Saints have won 8 straight against the Bears going back to 2008. I remember that 2008 game. It was a Thursday night game. It was a close game right until the bitter end. Roman Harper got a penalty call, and Roman did work here with us at WDSU, and I love him, so I hate to call him out like that. But the Saints have kind of owned the Bears. But I really say it's advantage Bears. Not only do I think you all have a good coach, and look, you all know your team better than I do, but I think that they're a team on the rise. Call me crazy. And I know that you all have said that for years and years and years, but I do think maybe you've finally gotten it right. Dennis is an elite defensive coordinator, and I understand his defense has given up a lot of yards, but they're opportunistic. And that was kind of their calling card here in New Orleans. They were very opportunistic, forcing turnovers and being in the right place at the right time. Well, there's probably no better team to do that against than a young quarterback who is kind of finding his footing. Even though Spencer Rattler has been very cautious, very guarded, he doesn't gamble, he checks the ball down, I still think this is advantage Dennis Allen. Plus, here's the thing. Dennis drafted all these guys. They drafted Chris Olave. They drafted these offensive linemen. He was here the whole time with Alvin Kamara. So I think he knows these guys in and out. Yes, it's Kellen Moore's offense. It's a new scheme. It's a new system. But I think his familiarity with these guys, with their tendencies, is advantage Bears. And look, the Saints defense, I don't even really have to talk about. The Saints defense for 4 straight games has given up touchdowns on the first 2 drives of every game, the last 4 games. They have been in a double-digit hole in the first quarter. Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis are foundation pillars, wonderful people, but they're 35 and they're 36 years old. They can't all of a sudden go back in a time machine and be 10 years younger. And then the Saints secondary is young and has been exposed. Offensively, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams have a chance, just like Drake May did last week, to go to town on a defense that is reeling right now. And while the Saints have been guarded offensively, I think Dennis's knowledge of who and what these players are is advantage Chicago.
Alvin Kamara, as you talk about age not getting any younger, Fletcher, I'm very curious as to if he's standing by his I don't want to be traded stance as a 30-year-old running back who on a team that appears to not be going anywhere anytime soon. And if he is available, do you think that the Bears make sense for him? And if there are other parts of the Saints that might be on the move?
Yeah, I think this game is going to tell us a lot. Look, the Saints season is, for all practical purposes, over. I mean, look, 1-5, while they've been competitive, I don't necessarily know if you see a team that's going to rattle off 4 or 5 straight wins. So I think when they hit their bye after 10 games, they'll probably be 1-9, 2-8, 3-7. So I do think a game like this is crucial, because if they lose and don't play great, they'll probably lean more into Rashid Shaheed as a free agent, and is a great receiver who can take the top off of any defense. You've got a guy like Carl Granderson as an edge rusher who could help teams that need a pressure player. You know, Pete Werner is still a solid linebacker in this league. I think they have parts. Alvin Kamara is interesting because he's meant so much to this organization. He's still got great versatility, but you're right. He's a running back that is 30-plus. Next year, meaning 26 offseason, he's probably going to want a new deal because he's going into the final year of his deal. So I think the Saints, even though Kamara, the reports came out last week that team general manager Mickey Loomis went to him and had a heart-to-heart with him, and he told Mickey Loomis, I want to be here. I don't doubt it. He loves the city. He lives here year-round. He's been a part of great success here. But at the end of the day, do they have to move off of loyalty and be a little bit more ruthless rebuilding their team? The Saints have been loyal to a fault. They were loyal to Dennis Allen. They've been very loyal to guys like Cam Jordan, like DeMario Davis, like Tyrann Mathieu, well past their primes. I do wonder if the offers become something that is tangible, helping this team moving forward, if they don't have a conversation with him and say, while we don't want to do it, we have to do it.
This is Fletcher Macker. We are talking to Fletcher, is the sports director at WDSU in New Orleans. And you have such a vast resume in New Orleans that it goes back to when Sean Payton was coaching the team. And I asked that question because I feel like a lot of what is inspired by what we see out of Ben Johnson even now. You know, there are all these offshoots of the Sean Payton coaching tree. You know, Dan Campbell, of course, spent time as an assistant under that tree as well. Dan Roschar, you know, you're familiar with him, of course, being a Tulane adjacent. There's a lot of, like, interesting Saints adjacent connections when it comes to this coaching staff. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And look, I think a lot of people here wish Dan Campbell was the coach of the New Orleans Saints. They missed him by about a year. He went to Detroit. Then Sean Payton abruptly left us. But Dan Campbell was a wildly popular assistant coach here that I think everybody knew had the makings of what seems like a championship coach and endears himself to fans. But you're right. Your quarterback's coach with the Bears played here under Sean Payton. So Dennis Allen is a Sean Payton disciple. Dennis Allen was here for a dozen years. He was on his first staff in 2006. Then Dennis went to Denver, then the Raiders. Then the second he got fired from the Raiders, Sean Payton brought him back immediately, and they had great success together. So I think that Sean Payton tree is strong. And Ben Johnson reminds me of Sean Payton, this kind of creative offensive mind that knows he can draw up a great game plan and attack defenses and knows right where their weaknesses are. You know, Sean Payton always told us that you want to put your stud on their dud. And he did a great job of doing that. And I think that's what Ben Johnson did in Detroit. And that's what he's continuing to do in Chicago. Look, it may not come together right away, but I do think it's going to come together. And also, too, you mentioned my vast resume here in New Orleans, 23 years at WDSU. I'm just going to pivot really quickly because I'm sure we're running out of time, or maybe not. But once upon a time, we found this awesome sportscaster in like Sherman, Texas, and we wanted to hire her because we thought she was a rising star, and she passed on us for a job in Texas. Do you know her?
I've heard of her. She may have gotten a job in Austin. And then proceeded to cover UT football for way too long. But I also think that what you have to say about Peyton's history regarding all of this is valid, because you made the point to me, Fletcher, about Peyton, and I think we forget this, even though he went to school in Illinois, that his affinity for the Bears ran a little deeper than maybe people even realize.
So Sean Payton, he hated this term. Sean Payton was a scab bear. Sean Payton played quarterback during the 87 lockout season, and he tells the story that he threw his final pass was an interception in the third and final lockout game that the scab players played, or the replacement players, excuse me. The replacement players played before the real players came back after the 87 lockout. His final pass of his professional career was an interception to a New Orleans Saints player, and Mike Ditka famously pulled him and said, it's time to figure out something else, to do something else. And Sean Payton went into coaching. Because you referenced Jim Mora. Jim Mora jokingly told Sean Payton, I'm 1-0 against you. And Payton goes, wait, we didn't coach against each other. And he goes, the 87 game, we beat your Bears. Half the Saints players had crossed the picket line and were playing against Sean Payton and a lot of guys who were first-time NFLers. So, yeah, so Sean Payton talks about the Hallis Hall days and his days in Chicago quite fondly.
I don't mean to cross you up here, Fletcher. I really don't. But you work in New Orleans, so I got to bring this up. Joe Dumars is running your basketball organization. He made a draft night trade with the Hawks, in which he gave them an unprotected first-round pick next year. I know the Pelicans are supposed to be better because they're supposed to be healthier this season, but how bad is it that the Bulls passed on that trade, that they could have had the unprotected pick from the New Orleans Pelicans for this upcoming draft?
So look, I'm glad you asked me about the NBA. I love talking about the NBA. Some people find like God in their life. I found the NBA. I started working here in 02, right when the NBA relocated back to New Orleans after the Jazz left in 79. So I love covering the NBA. I love talking about the NBA. I love it maybe more than the NFL. I'm high on Joe Dumars. So I look at that trade and think, oh my, they gave up an unprotected first. If they're bad, that pick could become number one.
Oh, but I know.
When the Pelicans got Zion, they went from 6-1. The Dallas Mavericks just went from 10-1 to get Cooper Flagg. But here's what I think. I think the Pelicans are going to be pretty good this year. I think Zion's going to be healthy. I think Dumars is the first guy to connect with him because he played with Lambeer and Rodman, and he traded for Rasheed Wallace. So I think the Pelicans are going to be good. And I don't think that pick's going to end up in the lottery. But if I were the Bulls, look, anybody who can get an unprotected pick from a team that could be bad, you should probably do it.
I had a feeling you two would get along for a number of reasons. I'm glad to hear it. Fletcher, this has been a lot of fun, as it always is, talking to you. Thanks for the insight and the commentary.
Thanks, Fletcher.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad we got to let Fletcher cook. He doesn't get to like this. Fletcher, you're welcome anytime, that's for sure. That was Fletcher Mackel, our friend in New Orleans. And I'm sorry on the Twitch chat, we didn't get to ask him about the LSU and Vandy game.
Oh.
I know, good question. Joe Ostrowski's on tomorrow, so maybe that's something we can save for later. Let's all write that down. I don't want Robbie to have to write everything down.
I like it when Robbie writes things down, because I feel like if I write it down, I'm going to forget where I wrote it.
Yeah, that's why I have these little post-it notes in my notebook.
Thing is, I always write them on the reads, and then I throw out my reads, so everything gets lost.
But you remember it, so how? How do you do that?
I don't.
He's just a great audio producer, that guy.
I'm writing that down.
Bob Tree.
Johnny said to call him back. At least we've got Joe tomorrow. That was Fletcher Mackel of WDSU. He's a lot of fun to talk to. I didn't realize Jim was back for another season. It's amazing.
Can you imagine him logging on every week to Zoom?
How does the conversation go?
90 and you still got time to watch football and have fun. I love that. That sounds like a perfect retirement.
516, is this Joe Fortenbaugh's brother?
I was just back here in the control room saying that. He sounds like a higher pitched a little bit, like Joe Fortenbaugh, same cadence.
I was thinking like also a bit like Costos as well, I think.
He was definitely excited to talk to us.
He really should do more radio. I know a place. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. About that Grody.
Bears.
He joins us from Hallis Hall next.
Bears.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bears. Mark Grody covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, you ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody.
Are you from the score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What?
Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grote. Mark Grote, WBBM.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grote.
Baked potato. Baked potato.
On the score.
You ate my beer!
Okay.
Oh, we took the whatever the Bears suck out of it, did we? Well, well, well. Things are looking up. He joins us from Hallis Hall on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He is our co-host. He is the host of the Take the North podcast, TTN. And he also, of course, is the Scores Bears reporter, Mark Grote. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Layla. Hi, Marshall. How are you guys doing? I am today... I am in a hallway, which is between the NFL Network interview room and the PNC Center, and I was not able to get into my usual recording studio, and there is an event going on in the atrium. So if I sound like I'm trying to be a little bit polite here in terms of my volume, you guys and the audience will understand.
Just go into XRT DJ voice.
All right. Here comes some lumineers. Just for you.
Oh,
there we go. Hello.
The kicking
hello.
Of the words was hilarious.
You guys are fine. You're all good. Don't worry. No problem.
What just happened?
Yes, they are passersby. There will be people coming in here. Hello. Good to see you. Hi. Hi.
Are you out in the open, though? Wait, I'm so confused.
Yeah, I am. I'm very exposed right now. So.
Hello there.
Yeah, like I'm literally in a hallway. I thought I was going to be able to get into a recording studio, and then I walk in there, and one of our Adam Johns was in the recording studio. So I'm like, beat me to it. And I literally just got in from the practice. So I just didn't have a lot of time to set up my spot. So if you guys hear commotion and people shouting my name out, you'll understand. And what? Some will be good, and some will be bad, probably.
Isn't there like a corner or something of the hallway? Like...
There is no corner.
There's no corner?
The hallway. And like I said, I try to go out in the atrium. I'm like, oh my gosh, the townspeople are here today. The villagers are here. There's some, like I said, an event going on. A lot of people dressed very nicely, eating very good food out here at Hallis Hall.
All right. Well, that's all very good to know. Today's Coordinator's Day. And it's funny, we just talked to the sports director at the NBC station in New Orleans, Fletcher Mackle of WDSU. And I understand that Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle were both speaking today. You know, the Saints connection is strong when it comes to Doyle being a Sean Payton guy, even though Payton's in Denver now. And then, of course, Dennis Allen being a former Saints coach.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Layla, it was Dennis Allen was a great big bore when it came to talking about, because he did, you know what he did, Layla, he did the whole, like, you know, that was then, this is now, like every question, of course, you know, he tried to engage a little bit, like, of course, like I was there for 15 years, just paraphrasing what he said, you know, of course, I got a lot of memories, but we're about the Bears, and every single time, I think there is a New Orleans reporter here. I'm assuming he is because he was asking a lot of New Orleans questions and he doesn't look familiar and he just wouldn't engage about it. So, you know, that's Dennis Allen for you, looking straight ahead, but he would not humor anybody. Declan Doyle was a little bit more like, oh, yeah, like what a great, because he's so young and so impressionable and like he's so excited when he's up at the lectern. So
not you making him sound like a puppy dog.
Yeah. He's like a golden retriever.
He's just a baby.
He's just a baby. It's like my guy Dan Levy. Dan Levy, like with the big voice, always talks about how he's like people think he's scary because of his voice, but when in fact he's just a golden retriever. That's what he is. He just wants to be petted on the head.
Well, you didn't pet Declan on the head, but you did talk to him about some things.
We did, and actually it was some really good stuff from Declan Doyle, because one of the things that I did latch on to that Troy Aikman talked about when he was, you know, the Troy Aikman heard round the world critiques. One of the ones that I thought was interesting was the lack of yards after catch, or putting your receiver in position to succeed after he catches the ball. And that question did come up. I believe it was my TTN partner, Dan Weeder, who asked it. And you'll hear a couple of good follow-ups about Caleb. Really good stuff here, guys. Take a listen.
What is Caleb's responsibility in improving that area of the offense?
Ball location is the number one thing. So we talk about a runner's ball, but you know, anytime we're throwing the ball, you know, within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, that ball location is precise, and it has to be for our player to be able to transition quickly into a runner, and then for our guys to be able to go block for that player. And so that's the number one thing that I mean, he would come up here, and if I said ball location, he would laugh because he hears it all the time. But that's the biggest thing.
How do you create improvement with that?
That is the mechanics that he works with JT and individual things like that. And then also, you know, comfort in the concepts that we're asking him to put his feet in line with where he needs to throw the ball, his eyes in line with where he needs to throw the ball, and continue to accelerate that growth.
It's at the same point when he was saying yesterday that he's missing more on the run, his feet are off. Do you think that's the diagnosis of why he's missing on the run more often than
I think it's specific to the play. You know, sometimes he's got a much better feel for, you know, how his arm feels on the run than I'm talking about more like in the rhythm of the passing game. Hey, we're 1-2, and I'm finding that throw and leading that player into a catch and run opportunity.
Yeah, that part was really interesting to me, guys, there at the end, too, because I was very surprised yesterday when we asked Caleb Williams, what do you want to get better at, that he didn't give like a, you know, a rote answer, but he gave a very specific answer, and that was he's struggling with his throws on the run, which I think baffles him because that's kind of been his bread and butter. Like, no matter what Caleb has been since he's been with the Bears, what we do know is that he can be very good when the play breaks down or he's on the run, and he feels like he hasn't been lately.
Well, I mean, that's big when it comes to just the overall discussion we've heard about the screen game, because Ben Johnson has referred to it, you know, Mark, but we haven't heard it spoken about in those specific of terms. And I feel like that's where coordinator comes in. That's where they're important to talk to. Tell us the details about these things.
Yeah, Mark, I go back to the one screen where he throws it and the ball that was overturned. It was overturned because it was an incomplete pass as ruled by the instant replay. But I was like, if you just put that where there was nobody within 5 yards of the receiver at that point, and that's what's got to get cleaned up.
Well, it's that anticipation angle too, you know, throwing it to the exact point where you know they're hitting it in stride, right? That Doyle illustrated it really well, Mark.
Yeah, I thought he did too. And, you know, the other part of this is, you know, we're all looking at that completion percentage. Is it up to 70%? And, you know, talking about how that can be made better. And one of the things that Declan Doyle said was make those completions. Like, you get those, you know, when the first two reads break down, your third read, your fourth read, making those checkdowns, making those plays, that's how they expect him to get his completion percentage up. And that is exactly what Ben Johnson was talking about, you know, months ago when he talked about what felt like, I don't know, daunting numbers is the right, but a very high bar. He's talking about hit those easy plays and your completion percentage will rise.
Well, that sounds all well and good, but unfortunately they're still working on it. I do understand you did get some information, though, from Dennis Allen that wasn't about his former team.
Yeah. Like, I really wanted that to be part of this, but I will, if you guys, or even this is a message to Spiegel and Holmes later on, I will not be engaging in the Dennis Allen homecoming story because I thought it was boring. So if you want to go check that out, go back and listen to it for yourself. I'm sure you could find the raw footage, but I tried to bring you guys interesting stuff, and he was interesting, Dennis Allen was, and I love this. I left the question on because our friend of the show, Herb Howard, had a very interesting sort of Q&A, a little conversation with Dennis Allen regarding turnovers, or do you say takeaways? Take a listen to this.
When you look at these turnovers, and I know they tend to come in bunches, but they're not.
Let's call them takeaways.
That's what I was getting to. I really was. Yeah. They're not all the same, right? Some of them are turnovers where like the last one, that was a turnover. You guys had population, Deshaun was there, but that was a turnover. But most of these things previous, like the previous 9 or 10, they were legit takeaways. Like, guys really going to make plays, anticipating things, understanding route combinations, punching the ball out. How do you evaluate them differently from turnovers versus takeaways?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think all of them matter, you know. And I think, you know, I might argue that, you know, some of the things that we were doing in terms of attacking the you know, the zone read scheme, maybe that had something to do with the ball handling. You know, I think all of those things matter. I think, you know, the number one thing is, man, there's a conscious effort and there's a prepared knowledge of where your takeaway opportunities are going to happen. And then we have to create population around the ball and those opportunities. And then when we get those opportunities, we've got to take advantage of them.
I love how he says create population around the ball. I don't know if I've heard that before. I love that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that and even I love Herb's gracefulness, because Herb was so graceful and how he answered that. He's good like that. He's socially graceful. But Dennis Allen, the reason he stresses it so much, I think, is because if you think about it in terms of takeaway and not necessarily the mistake prone turnover, that even gives you a more active mindset from the beginning.
Yeah, it was Lovie Smith who I remember hitting that home the hardest, or for the first time. I think that's when the takeaway era began. Like, it's like, no, this is what we do. We create these takeaways. It was funny because yesterday I asked TJ Edwards about it. I literally said the word science. Is there a science to it? He just kind of laughed. He's like, nah, not really a science to it. Everybody is, you create your own luck to some degree. But let's be honest, like, the ball being in the vicinity oftentimes is on the account of a mistake by the offense, by the quarterback. A lot of times it's ball luck, and sometimes you do create your own turnovers. But for the most part, it's right place, right time, and there is something to be said for that.
Mark, I am curious on the takeaways, turnovers, versus just, doing things like stopping the run. How confident are these guys that they can continue what we saw last week?
With the turnover, sorry, I got distracted.
No, I understand. I'm saying I love the takeaways. I love that they're tied for the league at +8 in turnover margin. But back to basics, can they just stop the run? Can they continue to do that? Does it sound like they're confident in that part of their game?
Well, here's the funny part about that, Marshall. Like, I guess you got to believe them when they say that it really just why was the run stopping better this week? It's because they get back to their fundamentals and their basics and the follow up. And unfortunately, I couldn't get the follow up in. Does that mean up until now the fundamentals sucked?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Like, right? Like, was training camp, like, what happened at training camp? What happened in the preseason? Where was the fundamentals? Like, was there a breakdown? Why is it taken up to this point? So all we have to go on, at least on the record right now from the people speaking today and some of the players that I've spoken to, is that the company line is that the fundamentals are better. Now, I think there's more to it. You can talk about personnel. Did Benedet play a factor in this? Darnell Wright looking really good. Is the interior starting to look better and gel and become more of what we thought they were? And I think that, save for a bad snap by Drew Dahlman at one point in time, you could probably say that that is part of it. But they keep hammering on the basics, so I guess that's what you got to go with right now until we can find out more answers.
Mark Grody, thanks as always for Hallis Hall. We'll get you out of that hallway.
Yeah, can't wait to see you in studio tomorrow.
We got Rainbow Cone today.
Don't do that.
Wait a minute. No, it's okay. Hey, you know what? There's food. There's a hold on. Let me see. I'm gonna walk you guys out in the atrium right now. Hold on.
You're not supposed to be there.
I know. Hold on a second.
This is real reporting.
Oh wow. The whole thing going on.
I hear the people. Yeah. Mark.
Abort. Yeah, abort.
Yeah, I'm aborting.
Run back.
There's a lot of people in there. It looks like there's some, it's like when my parents would host bridge when I was growing up, and they would have all the snacks out and the good, like, little roll-up hot dogs. And then when the company left, my brothers and I would eat all the food. That's what I'm going to do here. Once they clear out, I'm going to go get the leftovers.
Not you being a scavenger.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Is that okay?
No, probably not. No, probably not at all, actually. I don't think I'm going to actually do that, but it sounds like a nice thing to do. Because it's like good. It looks like good food out there, like good coffee, the whole thing.
Good coffee, too. Man, we got to figure that one out. All right, Groats, well, we appreciate your reporting. We'll try to save you some rainbow.
Hold on. Wait. Oh, they want me to be the keynote speaker. All right, guys, I got to go. I'm going to go give a quick speech to this group.
Your speech is Bears.
Yeah,
Bears.
Bears. See you guys. Bye.
That was Mark Grody. He joins us in studio tomorrow. That was him live at Hallis Hall. Peanut Tillman did what?
Yo, if you have not heard Peanut Tillman on Spiegel and Holmes from yesterday, I encourage you to go into the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature. He was on one.
You need to see the video too, because he.
Oh, I know. he was on one.
All right, so we'll tell you what he did. Well, better yet, he'll tell you. That's next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score, and that music should be a clue. They're playing clues for us now.
Guys, I like clues.
Yeah. How would you describe Peanut Tillman's appearance yesterday on Spiegel and Holmes?
That's a great question.
Everything. It was everything.
Okay, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. Everything. The first word out of my mouth was going to be chaotic. It was educational because Peanut Tillman learned all about Twitch and YouTube and how the Odyssey app works, and also that commercials need to be run so that hosts can get paid. But educational also because we got a better understanding of how he views Ben Johnson from a football standpoint. But I'm going to be honest. The football in this particular segment took a backseat to just the Peanut Tillman experience.
He was telling stories. So listen to this one that he told Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel yesterday.
Charles, we're coming up on Halloween. Can you tell the Bob Babbage story without cussing?
I'll try.
Okay.
I'm a prankster. And I love to scare people. Scaring people is my joy. It's my happy place. So Todd Johnson and I, we're in our third year. Me, Babbage, Todd Johnson, we all live on the same block. Environ Circle in Lake Bluff, Illinois. We all lived at this address or this little subdivision, the sanctuary. Well, I get this costume. First off, I'm a huge fan of Step Brothers. John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell, and there's a scene in the movie where it might be John C. Reilly's in his underwear and a collar shirt, and he's got this Chewbacca mask on, right? So I'm a big rich kid, so I was like, ooh, I want that mask. So I buy the mask, I buy the whole costume. I'm scaring, you know, people around the house, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to scare Babbage. I call Todd. We walk over to his house, and I just said, hey, I called his wife and said, let me know when he comes home. She calls me. She lets us know when he comes home, and we're sitting on the side of his house. And the garage door goes open. Todd Johnson has the camera, and he's recording. And I run up to Babbage as he sticks his key in the door. He's about to go inside, and I just jump up and go. And it's about... It's probably about 11, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. He had no clue. And he just, I jump up and go, and he screams and just goes, scared the you know what out of him. And it was just one of my all time greatest scares. One of my all time greatest scares. It was a whole lot of fun. He hated me. I mean, he was really mad. He was really mad. Then we took the film to work the next day. My guy, Dan Tuohy, the greatest film guy in the business, he doctored up some Michael Myers music, and yeah, man, the rest is history.
The amount of times he did the Chewbacca sound after we just talked about it. Were we just perfect. Talking about it on the show?
Like, that's as good as a Chewbacca as I've ever heard. It really is, though.
Also, Peanut Tillman saying, scaring people is my joy.
His happy place.
He, during this interview, which was on YouTube and Twitch, went and stepped away from the camera for about a minute, minute and a half, and came back in the full Michael Myers costume, mask and all.
So body, casual.
You know, the jumpsuit and all.
Yeah, it would be one thing if he, like, found the mask and put the mask on, but he took the time to put the actual jumpsuit on.
And then just step back so casual into the frame. That was so good.
Peanut Tillman, a treasure, a Chicago treasure.
I mean, seriously. And the fact that Lawrence had to say without cussing.
Well, you know, there were definitely some... probably swear words, as we call them, in there in reaction to the Chewbacca. Can you imagine? No, seriously.
From Star Wars.
It's pitch black. You're at your door in the middle of the night, and Chewbacca shows up, and you're not, because let's be honest, guys. When you get home from a long day at work, whatever, you're just in a mindset. There's people, I've been one of these people, who just sit in your car when you get home for a good 5 minutes before you even get out of the car, because you're just like, ah. And then you finally get the nerve to get out of your car and to go to your front door. And you're putting the key in the door. And all of a sudden, Chewbacca is there? Come on, man.
Also, I think of the meme of that poor fast food worker sitting on the bench with the brick wall behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. Popeyes, right? Popeyes, yeah.
I can't do it. I got nothing. I don't have enough bass to be Chewbacca. It's the only thing I'm missing.
Also, this is my time to go ahead and just say the 219 who texted us about the Unk OG. No, Unk is definitely lower on this. OG is like grandfatherly age.
Oh my God, do you really think Anthony Heron got called grandfatherly age the other day?
No, I'm saying Unk is more
but
just your older.
Somebody called him OG.
Again. Oh yeah, someone called him OG? Then yes. Somebody looked at him like a granddad.
Aunt was not happy. This is a few months ago. This is like back when we were doing holiday shows. He said this kid at the gas station, I think, like said, appreciate that, OG. And Aunt was like,
Mr. Heron should take it as a sign of respect. Yeah, that's it.
This is aging. This is aging with Marshall, Layla, Jarrett Payton, and Aunt Heron.
Quick question, random question. Are you guys pro or anti haunted house on the topic of being scared?
Okay, so I'm fine with them. Like I, you know, I giggle at a lot of stuff like that. Like I like being
like, if I got an invitation to go to a haunted house, do I take up on it? Cause I don't want to go at all.
Is there a girl involved?
Obviously.
Then yes, you go.
Oh yeah, you go. And then you're like, oh, I'm so sorry you were scared.
That's what fall is for, bro. You. Cause guess what? When you're walking through the haunted house and she gets scared, what's she doing?
It's going to expose me for being the scaredy cat. Cause like, I hate those things.
No, you just got to let her lean on you. Understand. It's not real, and you're just there to be the support for the girl who's going to lean into you and grab you every time she's scared. This is an ultimate payoff situation. Trust.
Listen to Marshall.
Here. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, it's not not bad advice, not good advice, just
bad advice about dryer sheets. Though. I'm not using dryer sheets.
Oh my goodness! Have your clothes.
Actually,
be staticky.
No, I don't think it is bad advice because a lot of people said that like they do mess with towel absorbency. My towels are old and they're still really absorbent. They're very good, and it's not like I was money bags when I bought them. I feel like I just treat them well.
Put your money bags now.
If this is money bags,
yeah, it is.
I need to reassess life choices.
No, this you're money bags.
I'm wearing a shirt that I'm pretty sure is from 2008.
That just makes you.
I take care of my clothing, okay? I care about textiles.
That just makes you frugal. But frugal people can be very, very wealthy, by the way.
Yeah. You know, the older you get, they say the more willing you are to look ugly in public. And that's where I'm at. Like, once I didn't have to wear fancy dresses, I was like, jeans, maybe.
I've been looking ugly in public since age... What is it? When do you stop being cute as a kid? Five? Yeah, since
I also
five.
Want to take this time to remind you of the early days of the internet, when many of you may have seen the once viral post, Scared Bros at a Haunted House. There was nothing funnier online in existence than the pictures from that post. I think it was BuzzFeed back in, like, again, 2010 or 2008 or something. It was hilarious. It was all these people at a haunted house and just still frames of them as they thought a car was coming at them. Ah,
also,
those are the days when I loved society.
219 has a good point. This is kind of sad. I think there's an actual recording in the mask. When you open your mouth, the Chewbacca sound comes out, unless Peanut Tillman is just talented like that. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right, because it was a $700 mask, Chewbacca mask. It was a $700. It was the most expensive I think you can buy. Yeah. Doggone it. That shatters my image of Peanut Tillman being that good at being Chewbacca.
630 says I should be proud that I can still fit in clothing from 2008. No, here's the deal. You just buy clothing with a little stretch in it, and then you have no idea. Huh? Hacks.
Wow. I used to wear Husky jeans, but I don't anymore.
You age backwards and you don't count in many of these conversations. Robbie, go to the haunted house.
I am.
Okay, awesome. Spiegel and Holmes are next on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.